I was asked to speak in the church about 3 weeks ago by the pastor, who said that there are three parables that he wanted to deal with. The last one was last week, the parable of the 10 virgins. I kind of would have wanted to do that one. But he asked me to do one that I hadn't studied much at all. And guess what? It's been one of the most exciting times of studying. I'm so glad that he didn't ask for one that I knew a lot of. I mean, he asked me to do one I didn't know a lot of, because it's been a learning experience. I've been asked to do a study on the parable of the talents. And it's interesting, I got on the internet and I looked through a lot of different places where the parable of the talents has been studied. And I'm going to share some of those things with you as we go through this. So, Matthew 25:14-29. If you have a Bible, you may want to open to it and follow along in your version. I will have it on the screen at all times, but you can also look in your own Bible as we're studying. Matthew 25:14-29. We're going to start by just looking at the first two verses, because I believe that if we understand these two verses, it opens up the whole parable. I'll read it from the New American Standard. "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey, who called his own slaves and entrusted his possession to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his ability, and he went on his journey." Now, okay, you're familiar with this parable? Okay, so the master was going on a journey, and he gave talents. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and you can answer out loud if you wish. But the question might be, what is your talent? Does anyone have anything to say? Okay, sharing Jesus is a talent. Someone else? Hospitality. Sharing Jesus. Hospitality. Anyone else? What? Creativity. Pardon me? Listening. Yes. Encouragement. Music. Okay, now, I don't mean to throw a bombshell, but everything everyone said has nothing to do with this parable. I learned that this week. Those are all talents, but guess what? This is a parable. And a talent is, in our minds, things that we have, things that we enjoy, but some things that we're good at, but it says, well, literally, talent in Jesus' time was, from the World English Dictionary, any of various ancient units of weight and money. So that was what a talent was when Jesus was talking. He was talking about money. Now, before we go on, how important is it that we know what a talent is in this parable? I want to read this. We're going to see it again. Verse 29, "For everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw that worthless slave into outer darkness, in that place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Get this. If you understand this parable wrongly, or if you are doing the things Jesus was warning about us, what's the outcome? What did we just read? What's the outcome? To be cast out where there's what? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Would you say this is an important parable? That Jesus was saying something that was important for us to know? Well, There may be some who think about that that might even get scared, that Jesus was saying something could happen to us that we don't want to have happen. Now, as I did my study, here are some of the thoughts. Some commentators, some commentators say this famous parable that Jesus used has a lot to teach us about our money. If we let it, below is the parable and a few of my thoughts about it. So a lot of the different people that were interpreting this parable said the talent equals money, right? Also, many commentators say the talent is this. This simple story makes some interesting points that are applicable to the pursuit of personal development, which is what you were just repeating back to me about your talents. I found one that said this: what can we learn from this story? What is meant? We need to use whatever talent God has given us. It might be money or ability. If we use it wisely, he will increase it so that our lives will glorify him. So there are some that are saying it's both. And then one said this: so the talents represent his word, the gospel of our salvation. Now that is what I found. I looked everyone I could think of looking at, and there were still a lot more, but all of them were basically saying this is the interpretation of the parable. Now, I'd like to pick this apart if we could. Matthew 25:14-15. For just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and what? What? Entrusted his possessions to them. Now, does that say anything? Money is not one of God's most important possessions. Do you know that? For the 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. Some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Does God worry about money? What did Jesus do when he needed money? He went fishing and emptied the fish's mouth. Money is not one of God's most important possessions. Okay, does he give us abilities according to our ability? Does that make sense? He's going to give you ability according to your ability. 1 Corinthians 12:11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually what? Just as he wills. He gives us things that are not according to our ability, but are greater than our ability when he has a need. Have you seen that? Okay. I shouldn't be a teacher. I'm looking around my class, and there's a bunch of you that are not paying attention. But that's okay. Bad teacher for thinking those thoughts. You know, I guess I'm feeling that because I think that this is one of the most important things we could be thinking about. I'm thinking, oh, I wish there's some way that all of us could just see it, because it is so important. I don't think that the talent is money, and I don't think the talent is our abilities. Now, his word is important, right? Isaiah 55:10-12. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. And you could read the rest of that, but the talent, does it represent God's word? That sounds good, doesn't it? However, you can't multiply his word like you could the talents. Revelation 22:18, testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. You can't multiply his word. It's what it is. We can understand it better, but it could not be represented by talents. Okay, now, without reading those texts, if you look at me, what do you think is God's most important possession? What? Oh, that was quick. His most important possession is us. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appearing to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with what? Therefore I have drawn you with loving kindness. Ephesians 1:13 and 14. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of purpose, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own what? His own possession, to the name of his glory. You and I are his possession. And the world is full of his most important possession. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for what? Now, I think when you have a text, you want to try to understand it because you can't. I don't think you should put your own thoughts into it. Agreed? You should let the Bible interpret itself. And as I'm studying this passage, I'm thinking, Jesus is giving them his possession that he wants them to multiply. Where in the Bible does it talk about God's possession? Well, you're looking at one, and there's many. And you came up with it right away. Great class who's paying attention. Matthew 25:14-15. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and what? Entrusted his possessions to them. He gave one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, each according to his ability, and he went on his journey. According to your abilities, God has given you what? Someone to take care of. Proverbs 11:29-31. He who troubles his own house will inherit the wind, and the foolish will be servant to the wise-hearted. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who is wise, what? He who is wise, what? Wins souls. If the righteous will be rewarded in the earth, how much more the wicked and the sinner? That almost sounds like our text. The righteous will be what? Rewarded. There is a reward for letting God fill your heart with concern for others. Now I'm going to ask you again. With what we just looked at, what is your talents? Okay. What is your talent? Okay. That's pretty general. I can tell you, as I've studied this, I know who my talents are. Some of them are sitting right in the back. The people that God has entrusted me to. And God gives us according to our ability those that he wants to entrust to us. The parable continues. Immediately, the one who received the five talents went and traded them and gained five more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the two talents gained two more. But he who received the one talent went away, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now, I could spend all day talking about the biblical symbolism. You know what ground represents? That's what we were made from, right? The dirt of the earth when we were created. If we could do a whole study, but I believe the ground, the dirt, represents the flesh. the natural man, the natural flesh. This person, God gave him individuals to care for, and he just let them go. Let them go their own way. He wasn't concerned about them. Now, after a long time, the master of these slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more, saying, "Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I've gained 5 more. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, "Master, you entrusted 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful to a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one who also had received the 1 talent came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, have what's yours." Now, 2 of them got the same reward. What was that? I will enter into the joy of your master. Did it matter if you had 5 or 2? Did it matter? The reward was the same. Isn't that cool? One cared more about himself. Luke 17:33. Whoever seeks to keep his life will what? And whoever loses his life will preserve it. Now, I'm going to treat you like my class. I want everyone to look at me, please. Please look up. Please, I see several of you looking down. Look at me for just a minute. God has given everybody in this room someone to care for. Do you know who that is? God has given everybody in this room talents. God has given everybody in this room someone. Do you know who that is? Now, since we're dealing with this, don't you think that's something we might do? Start thinking, what are the talents God has given to me? Is that worthy of our thoughts? Because one cared more about himself than he did about anything else. But his master answered and said to him, "You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. Do you want to lose what God has given you? I don't think so. I don't. God has entrusted some things to you. The rewards are great. But on the other hand, it can all be taken away from us if our thoughts are only of ourselves. For everyone who has more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But the one who does not have, even that which he does have, shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, in that place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, it's interesting. We're studying Matthew, these parables in Matthew. There are 2 other similar things I want to share with you. The first one is in Matthew 24. I'll read it, 45 through 51. "Who then is a faithful and sensible slave who his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes, providing for his home." Can you see that? Jesus said the faithful slave is providing for his own. "Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, 'My master is not coming for a long time,' and begins to beat his fellow slaves, eat and drink with drunkards, The master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in that hour which he does not know, he will cut him pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, in that place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can you see in this earlier text, he's burying his talent? Can you see that? He's given a household to take care of, and he says, oh, the master's not coming for a while, I'll do what I want. And he beats him. And in the next week, the pastor is going to include this next text. It's ahead of the parable, Matthew 25, 44 through 46. But they themselves will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I say to them, to the extent that you did not do it to what? The least of these, my brethren, you did it not to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal joy. Can you see burying the talent? Can you see that? Burying the talent, the text before, and burying the talent later, it has everything to do with our relationships with each other. It has everything to do with how we treat others. So, should we be concerned about our money and abilities? Yes, but not when we study the terrible parable of the talents. Don't be concerned today about your money and your abilities. Think about those persons or talents that God has given you. Individuals in your family, individuals in your church, individuals God has led you to. Be concerned about those, because that's the most important thing. Can you see that from the parable of the talents? All right, class, have you learned anything today? Can you see that this is scriptural? That I'm not just making things up, but the Bible is explaining itself. Jesus has entrusted to you his possessions. In the two I just read to you, one warning about mistreating people and begins to beat his fellow slaves. The other is about is loving the least of these, my brethren. But the end is the same. Those will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous through eternal life. I don't know about you, but I've been thinking a lot this week about what God has entrusted to me. And I shared in my Sabbath school class earlier, I don't know if you feel this, but I am lacking something in my life. You shall love the Lord your God with what? All your heart and all your soul and all your might. I don't know about you, but I'm lacking that. I do too much for myself, and I need to be filled with his love. He's promised to take away our hearts of stone and give us hearts of flesh. Do you need that too, like I do? Do you find oftentimes that everything you're doing is just for yourself? The end is the same. The choice is ours today. Now, I want to share one last thing before I conclude. I've asked it to be announced that every week I'm going to sit up here in the front and we're going to have a prayer group after church. So most of you are familiar with that. There's one reason that I wanted that done. Only in my life. If I was the only one sitting here after church, I'm okay with it. All right? Because that's where I need to be. I need to be there because this next week, God is going to lead me up to some people that I need to talk to. And I don't know who they are, and I don't know what to say. But I do know that I need to know those things, and I can if he has his spirit in me. I was last week teaching a Sabbath school lesson with my dad up in Washington. And I told the class this story. I was out witnessing one week with literature. And I came to this door in near the school in Missouri where I taught. And the literature was about the second coming. And I said, I have some literature. You might be interested. He said, no, I'm not interested. And he started closing the door. First thing only time in my life I've ever done this, I think I've mentioned this to you before. I stuck my foot in the door. I said, don't close the door. You really are going to enjoy these things. He said, I told you to go away. And he opened the door a little bit, and I had my foot out, and I put my foot in again. I said, wait. Let us at least have prayer with you. He opened the door, and he looked down, and he said, I go to church about two blocks from here. Nobody's ever asked to have prayer with me. I had prayer with him. He took me into his backyard and showed me his garden. He filled a bag full of all kinds of veggies. He said, come back. I'll take your literature. Now, I believe that the Holy Spirit put his foot in the door, not me. Because I've never done that before. And I've never done it since. Now, as you go through this next week, do any of you feel a need to be directed by him? He's given you talents, but we need to increase those talents. We need to use what we have. And so I haven't been sitting there for the last 4 weeks. And actually, some of that has been on purpose because I wanted to say something today. Do I need to be here for us to share what the Holy Spirit has done for us and ask for him to open doors? Do I need to be here? Well, it'd be nice if I was here, yes. Thank you. But if you are wanting the Holy Spirit, only he can give it to you. And you should have studied about that last week. The oil that we all need so desperately, it isn't natural. You have to go buy it. And guess what it costs you? Everything. And so today I'm going to sit up front for one reason. I need to ask God to direct me this next week and open doors and help me to say the right words and feel the right things and have his love in my heart, not just myself, because I got too much of me anyway. I have a desperate need for these things. Because I would one day want to go off rejoicing with him. I want to say, praise the Lord. These are the talents that you've given me. And here's some others that you had a part in bringing that I didn't have anything to do with because it was your spirit that was leading. And I believe that's why last week's sermon has to go before this week's. Because you can't do any of these things without the oil. Now, one last thing. What we're studying now, if you didn't know it, this chapter in Matthew 24 and 25 is all about end time events. These issues, these principles, these truths are more important now than ever before. We need to understand them. And my prayer today is that God is going to help me realize the talents he's given me and give me the grace and the oil that I need to find more talents. Let's pray. Our Father which art in heaven, thank you for giving us what you have. Forgive us for selfishly burying our thoughts and our concerns and thinking only about ourselves. Please, Father, this next week, open doors for each one here. Help us to be led by you and help us to have the increase that only you can give. And I pray these things in your name. Amen.